Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here and see you. For those of you that don't know me, I do campus ministry at the University of Maryland with Reformed University Fellowship. And, you know, like you all, the university was shut down pretty much all year, and students were in Zoom classes. And now they're telling us that it is going to be open back up in the fall, so we would appreciate your prayers as students come back and we try to renew and restart ministries. And we're doing actually a summer RUF at different parks up in Maryland this summer just to try to get people back together and do some things outside safely. So thank you for your prayers for me. Psalm 121 is a psalm called a Song of Ascents. And in your Bible, in your Hebrew Bible, from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, there are 15 psalms that are under this title of Songs of Ascents. What is that? Well, these were written for Israel to rehearse and to sing as they went up to Mount Zion to worship at the temple. So from all the different places where they were maybe scattered and around Jerusalem, these were songs to be sung on the journey towards worship. So the big picture, you know, for us as we think about a song like that, is it says that just like Israel of old, the Christian life is a journeying life towards our heavenly God, that God, you know, created us to worship Him. Sin has broken that fellowship. The Lord Jesus has come to restore that fellowship. And the whole goal of the Christian life is to glorify God, to worship Him, enjoy Him forever. And so this is an appropriate psalm to think about and to read and to think through. And it is a psalm especially that deals with this idea that we can have confidence as we go towards Zion, as we go towards the worship of the Lord. And so before we read, I would just ask you, you know, what direction are you going? You know, are you heading towards the worship of the Lord? Is that your ultimate goal in life? Or are you kind of, you know, heading somewhere else? The scriptures are very clear that we're called to worship this God who created all the beauty that we see and everything we experience, our very lives. And so with that, let's read Psalm 121 together. Hear the Lord's word. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. This ends the reading of God's holy word. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this time of worship and confession and prayer and praise and praying for your church. Bless this place. Bless your word this morning. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us in Christ's name. Amen. Well, back in May, you may have heard this story. If you've ever been to Ocean City, Maryland, there's a bridge called the 90th Street Bridge that goes from the behind the bay over into Ocean City. Well, back in May, the beginning part of May, there was a family traveling on that bridge, and all of a sudden they came upon a horrific accident scene. And a man by the name of Jonathan Bauer with his wife and child jumped out of their car to look at the accident scene and to see if they could help anyone. And lo and behold, there was an SUV that was on its side over the railing of the bridge. And another man was there saying, look in the water. And here was a baby in a child, a seat, you know, a travel seat, floating in the water. Well, without batting an eye, this man, Jonathan Bauer, who we later found out was afraid of heights, jumped off the bridge into the bay some 25 feet and was able to grab the child seat and the child and get the water out of her. And there was another fishing boat that was nearby, and he was able to get the child to safety. What a story. A story of someone watching, a story of someone, you know, delivering. A hero's story, isn't it? I think one of the funny things that happened, he gave a press conference, and if you've ever been to Ocean City, Maryland, or the boardwalk, one of the most popular things there is Fisher's popcorn. Has anybody ever had that Fisher's popcorn? Here, it's like a caramel popcorn. But when he gave his news conference, the Fisher's people had like popcorn boxes all over the desk where he was doing that. I just thought that was kind of funny. But the theme of this psalm is all about God being a helper, a watcher, you know, a deliverer, a rescuer. And this is a theme that we see really throughout the scriptures, don't we? We read a psalm earlier today that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. We know that the Psalms is filled with this idea that in Psalm 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield. When Israel was down in Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help, and he came and delivered them by the hand of Moses. Psalm 40:17, the psalmist writes, "As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, my God." So this psalm deals with this idea that God is our help. And it implies something. It implies that we are needy, that we actually need help, you know, that we are broken people, that none of us can stand before the holy God of the universe in and of our own strength or our own actions or our own good works, that we are a people desperate for help in every area of life because sin is so prevalent. This year has been, you know, a very difficult year with COVID-19, and we've seen not just the disease take an effect on people, and people have died, and people have been very sick, but it's also separated people. I was with some relatives. An aunt of mine died, not of COVID, but she had had cancer, and one of the her sister, who's was also in a kind of a retirement home, she was really unable to see anybody for the last 15 months. And it was such an amazing thing when she was able to get out and see some of the family and kind of process the death of her sister. But that, you know, she was in tears just because she was so happy to be with other people. You know, this whole separation has really had a lot of devastating effects on people emotionally, and with depression, and suicide rates are up. And I know a former student of mine that has gone through those thoughts and those feelings. Thank the Lord he is okay. But we live in a world where the brokenness of sin has devastated us, and it implies that we need help, we need rescue, we need a deliverer. And so this psalm is all about that, how God is our helper. And we're going to look at three things: that God is our creator helper, he's our keeper and helper, and he is our deliverer and helper. And so all of this while we journey to worship the Lord. This kind of God is with us to help us. And so how has he helped us? Well, the psalm points out here that our Lord is a creator. It says the psalmist is journeying, and he says, you know, from where does my help come from? He asks that to his heart. And then he responds, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. As they marched towards Jerusalem, you know, Jerusalem was set on a mountain, not a real high mountain like the Rockies, but if you go to the Promised Land, these hills, these rocky hills, they called mountains. And there was also mountains surrounding Jerusalem. And mountains in the Old Testament were oftentimes places where there was fear. There was places where robbers could hide. You remember Jesus, the Samaritan parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan about the man going down to Jericho. Well, that was from Jerusalem, and that was a steep area with cliffs, and it was a place of danger, place of robbers. In the Old Testament, we have the mountains as being the place where Baal worship existed. We remember Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal, right, up on Mount Carmel. And so in the Old Testament, this idea of mountain is not always a good place. It's actually a place of danger, a place where there's fear. Well, in the midst of that, the psalmist is asking himself, thank you. The psalmist is asking himself, where does my help come from? Because this is scary as I think about these mountains and where we are entering in. Where should my help look at? I've been, over the COVID year, I've watched a lot of Westerns. I don't know if there's any Western fans here, like Clint Eastwood or John Wayne movies, that kind of thing. But interesting, in just about all those movies, there's some sort of mountain scene where they're going through a pass and there's danger and there's some sort of ambush set up, you know? And this is the kind of fear that the psalmist is dealing with. You know, he's looking up. Where does my help come from? But then, right away, he is saying, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's almost as if he's saying, fear the mountains. God made the mountains. He's the one who made the very rocks, the very atoms that make up, you know, the stuff of the universe. This is our God who has created everything, who has made all. I don't have to fear any place because God is everywhere. We just read the Westminster Confession of Faith and about who God is. He's a spirit. He's everywhere. He's omniscient, right? He's omnipresent. That he's not local. The Baal gods were local in the Old Testament, not this God. This God is everywhere, all-powerful, reigning, and strong. And so part of what this psalm is teaching us is we need to preach the truth of God and who he is when we fear, when we're anxious. Where do you go with your anxieties? You know, often maybe you wake up at night, in the middle of the night, and you're thinking about the future, and maybe you're thinking about a problem at work, you're thinking about family issues, and you're worried about this, and you're worried about that, and anxiety just becomes like a dark cloud, doesn't it? Kind of like a hovering mountain. And what the scriptures are really calling us to is like, take a hold of your thoughts. Like he's doing here. It's a call and response. You know, I lift up my eyes to the hills. It's not looking good. From where does my help come from? Truth, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So I want to encourage you as you think about your life and the struggles and the fears. Remember that God is ultimate, that he is the creator. Preach that to your hearts. Again and again, as anxieties, as fears come, remember God. That's what the Psalms help us to do. I'm sorry, I guess I have some allergies this morning, so bear with me. The second thing is, we know we can have confidence in our God as we head towards worship because God is our helper and our keeper. Okay? There's a Hebrew word in this passage some six times. The word is shamar. And it is translated here, keep. And you'll see it all through the psalm. Keeper, he keeps Israel. The Lord is your keeper. And this idea in the ESV, or as you look at translations, is the idea to watch, to preserve, to guard, to protect. And when I read the psalm, I thought, wow, that's, we know that also as a shepherd, how God is the shepherd of Israel. And when we get to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. What is that shepherd doing? He is watching the sheep, isn't he? He's never sleeping. He's guarding them. He's keeping the bad guys away, right? He is, rebuking them and going after them when they stray, leaving the 99, going after the one. That this is the kind of idea that shepherd has. And we remember in the Old Testament that the Lord has been this ultimate shepherd to Israel, right? He's initiated the relationship. He's covenanted with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he didn't just reveal himself back then, right? All through the Old Testament, we have these pictures of God rescuing them when they were in trouble. When they were in Egypt, he brings them out. He carries them on eagle's wings. He feeds them through the wilderness some 40 years with manna and quail. Gives them water. He guides them. He gives leaders to them. He gives judges and prophets and kings. And ultimately, he defeats their enemies, the Canaanites, the Philistines, and others. This is the kind of shepherding God that we have. If you are a believer, the Lord Jesus is with you. And so as we think through the specifics in the psalm, here's the aspects of the keeper. One is, says that he will support their journey. Verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. If you've ever been on a hike, if you've ever maybe gone out to Harper's Ferry or out to the Appalachians and did a hike, it's important to have good footwear, right? You don't really want to go in flip-flops, right? You want to have some firm, you know, a hiking boot or a good pair of tennis shoes that are strong, right? And to some extent, this is the kind of support that the Lord is giving them. He will not let your foot be moved as you journey through those rough places. And did you know that in Deuteronomy 29:5, the Lord said this, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet. That's remarkable. For 40, we need to find this, whatever this material is that the Lord used, right? The little things of life the Lord was interested in, keeping their clothes in the hot sun, right? Giving them good shoes to journey all those years in the wilderness. Not only that, he watches at all times. Verse 4, he who keeps you will not slumber nor sleep. Again, like that watchful good shepherd, never sleeping, watching us at all times. We can rest easy. We know we have the ultimate protective God who is beside us, who is with us. And so this is the kind of shepherding God that we have. He also protects us from dangers. Verse 5, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. And then it says in 6, the sun shall not strike you by day, or the moon by night. What's going on? Well, the right hand often in the scriptures is that place where the work gets done. That God is shading them, allowing their works to be established, allowing them to continue on in their life. The sun shall not strike you by day. The environment, I will protect you in the midst of the heat of the sun in the desert. And the moon by night, and this is the idea of being moonstruck. It's not that the moon is going to do something to them, but it's kind of in the Old Testament, there's that idea of going crazy at night. this idea of being moonstruck. He's like saying, I'm not going to let you go crazy. I'm going to keep you, keep your mind, so that you will be safe, and you will be able to think upon me and do what I've called you to do. And so, again, that idea of the fear at night and the anxiety, he's not going to let us dwell into that. And as we think of this, the modern translation of this would be, where in the scriptures do we have a helper? And we read it today in the New Testament reading that the Lord Jesus said, I must go away so that the helper can be with you 24/7, the Holy Spirit. And this is in John 16. He says, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He will guide you into all truth. And ultimately, he will glorify Jesus and make Jesus known. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, has been poured out on the church ever since the day of Pentecost. And we still experience the Holy Spirit. Whenever someone believes and becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit is that, comes to dwell with us, to be that deposit, guaranteeing that we will be with the Lord. He is also called the Spirit of Sonship, that when we have the Holy Spirit, we know that we are God's children, that he loves us. He convicts us of our sin. He prods us to know Jesus. He guides us. He is with us, again, 24/7 as that helper. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, I must go so that he comes. The Spirit of Jesus is with his children. And so this is the beautiful thing, that this idea of the helper in the Old Testament was kind of, you know, here and there for Israel, right? The Lord would come in and reveal himself in these dramatic events. But now, because of the Lord Jesus and because of the outpouring of the Spirit, we have that all the time. I think we just don't realize it, right? And so part of the call of this psalm is to remember that the helper is with us, that we are to look to him, we are to pray, we are to remember, we are to continue. It's not just when you become a Christian that the Holy Spirit is with you. We need to continue to ask for filling and renewal of the Holy Spirit. As we believe in Christ, the Spirit comes again and again and fills us. So to some extent, it's like when your car runs out of gas, right? You got to keep filling it with gas. It's the same idea for the Christian. We are to continually ask for the Spirit to fill us and to encourage us as we go on our journey towards the heavenly Mount Zion, towards worship of the Lord. In Romans it says, for God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of sonship. And we cry out, Abba, Father. We are sons and daughters, and we are called to continually cry out to him in all of your needs, in all of your anxieties, in all of your fears. Continue to cry out for his presence. And the third thing is, we can have confidence on this journey of worship because God is our deliverer and helper, that he's the one who has kept us from all evil. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Now this Hebrew word is the idea of all that's bad that is a result of sin. All that is bad, all that is broken, all death, Satan, sin, the anxieties, the brokenness, the separation, everything that sin has devastated is included in this idea of evil. You know, when the fall happened in Genesis 3, when our first parents ate of the fruit. It caused somewhat of an atomic explosion, didn't it? And it devastated all areas of life. If you go back to that story, the first thing that happens is a separation from God. Spiritual death and later physical death as a result of sin, as a result of choosing evil. But not just that, the next thing they do is blame each other. There's a separation horizontally, relationally, between Adam and Eve, and really in all those relationships, right? The very first family had a murder. Cain killed Abel. This is the first family. This is how devastating sin has become. It's brought about all of these ideas of shame and fear and anger and depression and anxiety. Not only that, it separated us right from the environment, right? That's why there's pollution. That's why people like, you know, try to take out of the earth and not be a good steward like the Lord had called Adam and Eve to be. It's created all kinds of issues in government, right, and in society because of the brokenness of sin. But the psalmist here is confident, isn't he? The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. In the midst of this world that is very broken, your own self that's very broken, the culture that seems to be just out of control, right? Like social media and just, you know, pornographic material and all the different issues that are in our world. The Lord here is saying he will keep you from all evil. He will allow you to go through all of that and to worship him, to journey through him. Now, how do we know this? Well, we ultimately are on the other side of this psalm, aren't we? We know that the Lord Jesus came. This psalm is written as they marched towards the temple to worship the Lord. What happened? What's the centerpiece of that temple? Well, it's the Holy of Holies, where God met with his people, where the sacrifice for sin was made, and the blood was sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant so that we could have access. And when Jesus died on the cross, right, he became the very representation of that blood, that ultimate sacrifice being made once and for all so that we have access to God. And through his blood, we have forgiveness of sins. Through his blood, we have relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Through his blood, we have been kept from ultimate evil and the hell and the judgment of God. For the Lord Jesus suffered that justice of God for us. This is the beauty of the gospel, that ultimately, how has God delivered us from evil? Well, he has kept us from evil because he did not keep his very son. You see, he keeps us because he allowed the Lord Jesus not to be kept. When he was on that cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why has he forsaken his own son? Because Jesus was representing us, sinners, people that deserved his judgment, deserved that. The Lord Jesus steps in and takes it, and he has ultimately become sin, and he is not kept from evil. He suffers the judgment for us, so that we will always be kept, so that we will always have access, so that we will ultimately be kept from all of that evil. This is what the Lord has done for his children, for all those who believe in the Lord Jesus. That is why this psalm has such hope, such confidence. And if you know this today, you'll be able to walk out of here with joy. Walk out of here with confidence as you go to work, as you go to school, as you live with your neighbors and your family. You'll have confidence that God is the one who keeps you, and he will keep you from all evil. And he will keep you, your going and your coming from this time forth and forevermore. Do you have that kind of confidence? That confidence only comes from recognizing I'm a sinner and I need his help. I need what he did on that cross for me. So today, friends, is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say, I want to be kept by you, Lord Jesus. I need your hope. I need your forgiveness. I trust what you did on the cross for me. I need your Holy Spirit. I need your protection. And so this is the beauty of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 that we read earlier, that we can keep marching, that we can keep going, because there's been a great cloud of witnesses that's already believed, and they're being kept now with the Lord in heaven. And Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What's the focus? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The goal of Israel is our goal, to worship, to journey, to focus on the Lord Jesus, to give him praise and glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time of worship, this time to remember again and again that the Lord Jesus is that great shepherd of the sheep, that he is that great helper, that he is the one who is on the throne watching, delivering his children. And he did this because of his great love for us. Thank you. Lord, help us to have confidence in you as we journey through this hard place, through this wilderness. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. With that said, let's all respond in song.